Welcome back to Bengals Pep Rally for the final hour, presented by Bud, or by Miller Lite, I should say, at Buffalo Wings and Rings on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. I know it's an adult beverage of some sort. Our guest right now, the number one sack master rookie in the National Football League, Carl Lawson, 7.5 quarterback sacks. Within 2 sacks of Carlos Dunlap's rookie record of 9.5, you want that double-digit sack bad, don't you?
Yeah, I just want double digits just because that's what the great pass rushers always have, double digits.
You got to have double digits.
Yeah.
Tony Pike is in the house. Dave Lapham, we're here with Carl Lawson. And when Carl came up to the podium and said, you know, Tony was a quarterback, and all of a sudden Carl's eyes start lighting up a little bit. And Tony starts, you know, moving up in
I'm
the pocket.
I'm trying to move my chair over to you
right,
already.
Right.
You're an old lineman. We cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, exactly. I mean, we got it covered. So the National Football League. Everybody thinks it's a big adjustment, you know, to jump up to the National Football League. You played in the SEC. It's a high level of football. And I think the difference, the SEC, as opposed to any other conference in college football, the offensive and defensive linemen, you may have a guy from a team in the Big 12 make it. You may have 2 guys from a team. But in the SEC, you got a handful of offensive and defensive linemen from the good teams every year making it to the National Football League. Does that make the transition easier to this level?
Yeah, I didn't notice much of a transition when I got here. I thought I got better as soon as I got here. So
you just rose up to the level?
Yeah, everybody asked me what was the difference in the speed of the game and things of that nature. But I really didn't feel anything. I actually just felt like I got easier.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that just says the college game now, because you heard Leonard Fournette say it this year too. You know, it's harder to run in the SEC than it is right now.
Yeah.
And now coming from, you know, a spread offense like I did, there's a ton of adjustments. But from your position, you know, at linebacker, defensive end, the playbook-wise, is there a big jump as far as what you have to learn?
Well, yeah, what I had to do as far as, like, learning linebacker and learning that stuff, you know, that was completely foreign to me. But, you know, I'm a pro. You know, I take every day with a vet mentality. And so, I mean, it eventually ended up coming to me. But that was a hard part, just, you know. But the physicality and the technique and that stuff, that was pretty easy.
I know that your teammates, coaches, everybody right away noticed that you're a football junkie. I mean, you love the game of football. You love studying the game of football. You can't learn enough about the game of football. I mean, that's what everybody says about you. When did that start? How old were you when you fell in love with the game like that?
I mean, I'd probably have to say when I was actually took it serious, probably about my sophomore year of high school. Yeah, about sophomore year in high school. I mean, I was playing. I didn't even start until my senior year in high school, but I was on the freshman teams and the JV teams. I was like, you know what, if I want to be good at something, you know, let me take the time and learn about the position and things of that nature. And I just became addicted to it. It didn't become a chore. It was actually just fun watching, you know, tape and all that type of stuff. So,
as far as what you get to do day in and day out, I had the pleasure of meeting Carlos Dunlap in the Sugar Bowl what felt like 60 times where he was helping me up off the ground.
Right.
But you get to work with a guy like that, day in and day out, guy that came in as a rookie, made impact plays. What can you take from him and his preparation and what he does on the field and apply it to your game?
Well, just his pro mindset, the way he goes about his business. So, I mean, I'm not 6'6", 6'11", like Carlos. You know, I'm not
those
long
arms. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the main things I've learned from Carlos is just, you know, how to be a pro and stuff. And also just, like, recovery work. You know, he put me on with a lot of different, like, MAT specialists, chiropractors, and just how to take care of your body so you can, you know, get the returns later, you know, when it's contract time.
Right.
So, but, yeah, that's the main thing I learned from Carlos, just how to be a pro, because it's hard to emulate somebody you're not don't have the same body type as.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned doing all the things, taking care of the body. You know, nutrition, obviously, first and foremost. And then doing things after, you know, working out to take care of your body and after games and all that. James Harrison was a great example. He'd spend $500,000 on the various deals to keep his body right. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm going to spend $500,000 to make $4 million all day, every day, and do it till I'm 39 years old.
I mean I don't got
that's
no
good
money.
Business.
I don't have any money like that.
No, I hear that. I hear that. But that was – he took it to the highest level you could take it. But I think it's really smart, you know, for you to say, all right, I'm going to invest – it's going to pay off for me. I'm investing in myself. I'm my biggest asset. My body's my biggest asset. I'm gonna invest in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can't work without. I mean, this is my job, and I mean, I can't get my job done if I can't play. So, I mean, and that was a big thing for me in college is, you know, so many injuries slowed down the way I could play and things of that nature. So, I mean, I get a little bump or bruise, I'm taking care of it, you know. So,
yeah. That's the thing that the reason that the Bengals were able to get you in the fourth round, you had the hip injury, you had a knee injury, I think it was. But, I mean, when you were healthy and able to play, 9.5 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, I mean, you were dominating the SEC. I think the Bengals, you might be one of their best value picks they've had in quite a while. I mean, to get you in the fourth round, as soon as guys saw you at training camp, rookies and veterans alike, they're like, this guy's a first-round draft pick. What the hell was he doing in the fourth round? I mean, people were stunned that you were available, and the Bengals were beneficiaries of it. Were you surprised that you didn't go higher?
Well, I mean, it wasn't about that. It was just people that were picked in front of me because, like you said, I watched film, and I was just confused. I mean, like, this guy's not better than me.
Right,
this guy's
right.
not better than me. I mean, I didn't understand it. I mean, I guess it was medicals and people were saying it was because of the measurables, his height and arm length and stuff like that. I didn't understand it. It confused me. I mean, what was arm length had to do if I could throw a grown man who weighs twice as much as me? You know?
Right.
So I didn't understand it. So
does that give you that chip on the shoulder, that extra little gear just to go out and show that every week, or is that just something that you're wired that way?
No, the only thing I worry about is right now is just making sure I can be healthy. As you see time and time again, Tom Brady's the best player I've ever played. He went in the fifth round. So, I mean,
sixth round.
Yeah, sixth round.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter where you drafted, as long, you know, just as long as I can get my foot in the door and, you know, kick some faces in when I came in. So
that's the thing. It's like it doesn't matter how you got there. It's what you do once you get there, right? I mean, all you need is an opportunity. Did you feel like right away, I mean, the first time I saw you in pass rush, the speed to power conversion, your hip snap, I mean, when you would bull rush guys and snap on guys, I'm like, wow. And then the other thing that impressed me is when you would turn the corner and you'd have that lean where, you know, it looked like almost your ear hole of your helmet's touching the ground. I mean, you're that low as you're turning the corner. I mean, those kind of things. How many different moves do you have as a pass rusher in your toolbox at this point?
Right now, I'd have to say eight.
Moves.
Yeah, eight. So, I mean, we have three base moves, and you have a counter off those moves. So that's six right there.
Right.
And then you have two, like, you know, just curveballs that you throw at them. So, I mean, I'd say eight, and they're eight pretty good ones, and they're for different tackles and different teams and, you know, just a bunch of guns in the you know.
Like Villanueva is 6'9". You go against another guy who's 6'4". You employ, different arm lengths and all that.
Yeah, different sets, the way, you know, pass rush is also a game of angles. You know, you got to approach it at a different angle. If you're going up field and the guy's setting out to you, your momentum's going this way, he's going to stop your momentum. But if your guy's going this way and you come right at him, you meet him quicker and then you get to the pot. So, I mean, everything has a science to it. You're not just out there just smashing heads every play.
Football geometry.
That's what we talk about. I mean, as an offensive lineman, when you got a guy with eight moves, if it's third and 10 and you're one-on-one, I mean,
right.
it's hard in a week to be able to prepare for every move you can get. But at this point of the year, as a rookie, and something that I was able to see, the college season runs pretty long. And then you go right into training for the combine or your pro day. Mm-hmm. And then draft day comes, and then you're in rookie mini camp. Mm-hmm. It's a long year, especially for rookies. You don't really get that off season. Is that something, as this season comes to an end with a couple weeks left, can you feel that? And how do you get yourself over that initial hump of just continue to push and get to that light at the end?
Like earlier we talked about, I've done a great job with my body, just taking care of it. So I don't really feel that, but I do feel the being in meetings for 6 hours
right.
every day. I feel that mentally. I feel it up here. So, I mean, it's getting to me a little bit. But as far as my body goes, I feel pretty good, you know.
I don't think there's an understanding of you see guys on practice, on the practice field. Mm-hmm. And now you're coming in as a rookie, and all of a sudden you don't have –
class
school anymore,
right?
Yeah,
so these coaches basically they can keep you,
yeah, they're gonna get
six there. 7 hours.
Yeah,
and
it's like work.
Yeah,
there's no NCAA rule now. You gotta go.
I remember my rookie year, it was like, we have meetings till when?
Right.
Yeah.
Practice ends at 3 and I'm getting home at 9.
Yeah, right.
Try to keep my eyes awake. And
right.
I'll do this every now and again.
Yep. There's different things you got to employ. That's all about being a rookie. It's not just on the field. You got to understand how to stay awake in a meeting.
Right. Yeah. There you go. So. I see you got your Auburn jacket on.
Always.
So, Auburn, Willie Anderson and Tequio Spikes both told me that they met you when you were a younger guy, and they were working out, and you were working out with them as pro players. You're a young guy going through workouts with them. They said he came in like with his sweatpants on, his sweat, and they're like, "Man, who's this? It's about 100,000 degrees, a 1,000,000% humidity, and you're out there killing it." And they're like, "Who's this kid, man? This kid's going to be special." Do you remember those times with those guys?
I remember those days. I almost passed out. Yeah, I never wear sweatpants to a hot workout in Atlanta, but. Yeah, I remember that. It was I went to go train with this guy named Tony Villani, who I actually trained with for the combine when he was in Atlanta. And I mean, I didn't really know about the Auburn or anything like that, but I kind of got that connection to Keo and Wayne Gandy and Willie and all those
big
guys.
Wayne Gandy, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean,
huh?
Yes, yeah, so that was a long time ago.
Man, so when you're working out in the weight room. Is your workout, you don't really care about how much weight you're lifting as opposed to explosion. What's your workout like? What's your workout regimen like?
My workout is pretty much is way different than what it was because, I mean, I have all the power. And, you know, a big thing that I used to be is, you know, lifting a lot of heavy weight and stuff like that. But that kind of makes you a little bit stiff. So now I just work on little muscles. I don't really lift as much as I need to. I mean, like I used to in college.
Because, right.
I mean, I want to be more flexible. And I have all the power I need. So, I mean, kind of maintain that, but mostly I'm just doing like small muscle work and just trying to get healthy. You know what I'm saying?
That's Carl Lawson, Tony Pike, Dave Lapham. We're here with you, and we're going to be here with you till 6 o'clock. We're going to step aside right now, though. You're listening to Bengals Pep Rally, presented by Miller Lite at Buffalo Wings and Rings on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Welcome back. Bengals Pep Rally, presented by Miller Lite at Buffalo Wings and Rings on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Carl Lawson deep into the autograph signing. We're going to get back to some football conversation here. If we could wait till the break after Russ, the answer bus, we'll be good. Carl Lawson in the house. Carl, I guess the first question, obviously a titanic tilt on Monday night. Physical football game, division rival, bitter ending to the football game. Mm-hmm. How's the team handled bouncing back? I mean, everybody, all Bengal fans are worried about a little bit of a hangover. Should they not worry? You guys bounce back pretty well this week?
I think we will. I mean, like I said, it's our job. You know, I mean, we do come up short sometimes, but it's our job to go out there and be pros. And, you know, the pro mindset is to go out there and win. So I really haven't noticed too much of a drop-off. We got a couple guys banged up and injured, but the guys who, you know, have stepped up in those roles and they're going to go play well this upcoming week.
What's been the message to piggyback on the injuries? Five starters out right now on defense. Mm-hmm. You look Pac-Man, or Nick Vigil, Pac-Man, Kirkpatrick, mm-hmm. Perfect, Sean Williams, guys like that. Is that more now the message this week of guys getting an opportunity to step in there and make a play, and then guys like yourself that have an opportunity to come up and lead when you got some veteran guys out?
I mean, yeah, you got some veteran guys out, but you got some good young talent. And I mean, I think the good defenses, you know, they can restock and reload, you know, because, you know, Nick Vigil's out, you know, but Vinny Ray comes back in, Vontez out. You know, we got Jordan Evans. I don't know if you saw him in the preseason. He plays pretty well.
Sure, sure.
You know, who else we got? Pac-Man, you know, I mean, everybody's hopes. I hope they notice what Willie Jackson is actually doing out there, you know, shutting people down. And, you know, you know, it's got a lot of good continuity in the young group, so yeah, I think we'll be straight.
Paul Gunther is real diverse, you know, with his scheme,
mm-hmm.
But he's a great teacher. There's no doubt about it. He'll bring guys up to the board and say he doesn't want you to just have tunnel vision, knowing what you're supposed to do, but he wants you to understand why you're doing it. So everybody around you, he wants you to know what's going on. Has he had you up at the board yet? If you had to go up there and with that grease pen and draw some things up?
No, I didn't have to go up to the – I mean, actually in the combine interviews, I remember going up to the board, but I haven't had to do anything at, in front of defense. He'll ask me certain questions, and I'll just tell him what I need to do, especially a linebacker. He knows what I'm doing at defensive end. So.
Right. So linebacker, with that – I mean, there's a lot to – you have to know what's going on behind you coverage-wise, what's going on in front of you run-wise. I mean, a lot of different things to think about, right?
Yeah, I mean, the coverage part, I mean, I'm probably not as good as I want to be yet, but as the seasons went on and as I've studied tape and just being around it, it's gotten so much easier, like, what to read. I mean, I actually think I'm getting the hang of that, so.
You brought up a guy in William Jackson. Lapp and I have talked earlier in the show about the guy's going to be a Pro Bowl cornerback. a shutdown guy. And a lot of times secondary guys appreciate your guys' work because the quarterback's got to get the ball out a little bit quicker. How much does a guy like William Jackson help you, have given you an extra second to maybe a quarterback's got to hold on to a ball, you create a strip fumble? Talk about the camaraderie from a defensive lineman, defensive end perspective with your corner out there in coverage.
I mean, Paulie says it all the time, you know, rush and cover. I mean, we work hand in hand together. I mean, sometimes, you know, I don't get to him quick enough, so that means you got to cover him longer. Sometimes you might have got beat, but I got to him. So, I mean, it works hand in hand.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Monday Night Football. You know, I remember when I was 22 years old, Monday Night Football, no big deal. Felt like I could play Wednesday. When I was 32 years old, Monday Night Football, I got to play Sunday? Oh, man. You know, the body doesn't respond, you know, as quickly. Is your body – I mean, once that game ended – the challenge, you know, emotional, mental challenge and all that, but physically, you're fine. A short week, no big deal to you as a rookie in the league?
They don't, you know how it is, you know, kind of not a rookie treatment, but I mean, I don't get as many snaps as the vets.
Right.
So, I mean, my body's not really taking as much of a pounding. And then the quick turnaround, they did a good job of taking care of us this week. We didn't go back to banging immediately. So, I mean, kind of got recovered and refreshed and all that. So, I mean, I don't really feel it. You'll have to ask a vet. I don't know.
So you took 90 snaps in college in games, right? I mean, 90 snaps, and you're taking, what, 40, 45 snaps on an average kind of at this level or right now? Or what does it work out to?
Some weeks I might even have just, like, 20 snaps.
Right.
So, I mean, in college, though, I mean, that's why I say it was a little bit harder because, I mean, most of the time when you had the big snap count was because you played the pace offense. And, I mean, the NFL is slow. You got TV breaks. I'm like, all right, this is great. You know, but in college, I mean, they're snap.
As an offensive guy, you don't want that.
The football is not very much quality, but, I mean, it's still play after play after play after play after play, play, play.
Right.
You know, you got to get ready. You got to get to the sideline. You don't get a call in. I mean, I wish somebody would bring a good hurry-up offense in the NFL and see how people react. But
see, playing against guys like this, that's when you want no huddle, no TV timeouts.
Right.
Because the more he gets to rest, that's less time I get to sit back in the pocket.
Yeah.
Talk about the mental side, because we've talked about the jump. So a Thursday night football game, and you play Sunday. Mentally now, how much different is that? Because you only have a short time to get your body ready, but now you got to – NFL team and NFL caliber running back and quarterback, that you only get, you know, a shortened time to mentally understand what they're doing on offense.
Yeah, but then again, you don't got school, so I mean, I haven't really found any problems with getting.
Yep.
Like, we had a Thursday night game. Once that game was over, I watched it, took my notes what I could do better on, and then I was on to the next one that same night. So I mean, it was. I don't really feel like it's a big of a challenge.
Do you keep a book on offensive tackles? Like, for the first time this year, you had a repeat performance. Villanueva is the first guy you went against twice because Thomas was injured. When you played Cleveland the second time, it was a different tackle.
Well, no, I had a scouting report on Costanzo even when he didn't play.
Okay.
The week of the Colts. So, okay. I mean, I watched him from last year. So, yeah, I pretty much got, like, a catalog, like a football card collection of guys, you know, got them set up on two pages. So next time I play Redskins, I already have a Trent Williams file.
Right.
I'll add some stuff to it, but I mean, I already got files for everybody I played, or, you know, stuff like that.
So will you have a little file on all 32 left tackles in the NFL?
No, I won't have that, but I mean, I'll have it, like, if I play them, or if I play them in the, you know, future.
Right. Right.
You know, so I mean, I'll already have it. It's all in my notebooks. So I kind of got that. I picked that up from Kevin Green a couple years ago. He has all his notebooks. So, you know, When I got here, I knew I was going to do that. In college, I wanted to do it, but, I mean, I really didn't have much time. But now I got time, so now I'm keeping all those books.
Another Auburn guy, Kevin Green.
Yeah.
You guys have had some rushers, man.
Yeah.
Well, you look at where you guys are at now. Coming in, you talked about eight pretty much go-to moves that you feel comfortable with running against an offensive tackle or a running back or whoever may be on you.
Mm-hmm.
This offseason now, What do you want ultimately? You want to add more moves? Do you want to refine what you're doing now? Or do y'all just want to keep it a little different?
You kind of want to refine what you're doing now and see what works and didn't work for you, see what you can add. I already know the plan for this offseason is just improve my overall tackling and, you know, probably better understanding of the game. I think there was something else I wanted to do.
I know tackling was one of the things. I think, you know, when I train every day, I'm going to practice tackling a near hip or just doing something every day so I can become a better overall tackler. But
what's the biggest difference for people listening as far as getting after a passer and then having to play the run game? Because obviously those are two different rush techniques, two different styles.
I don't know. I mean, it's all technique with playing the run. I mean, I don't really get many opportunities to show that I could do that. But in Auburn, you know, my D-line coach is a big run guy. So, I mean, the six-inch power steps, the key in the breastplate, the hands inside not coming out like this because that wastes time coming up underneath.
Right.
Because, you know, that's how offensive linemen scoop you. That's the big thing in the run game is and also footwork. Because a guy can step right here or step right here underneath himself, and that will mess up a whole play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just the footwork and the technique as far as playing a run. So.
Any endeavor in sports starts with feet, ends with hands. Mm-hmm. Catching a ball, throwing a ball, shooting a ball, blocking and tackling the same way. Starts mm-hmm. with your feet, ends with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you know, you have to be able to work on those techniques. Do you have a goal of you want to expand your role? I mean, even as the season wears on here, do you want to do more things than, you know, the nickel pass situation? Are you content with that? And then in the offseason, maybe try to show that you can expand your role? Or what are you thinking in that? Or is that just the coaches and you don't worry about it? Or what's your mindset?
No, of course it's always on my mind because, you know, you want to consider being like a overall dominant player. So, I mean, this offseason, so, I mean, as soon as the season is done, I'm going to go to them and figure out what all do I need to do to get on the field more and
right.
to be the overall player, to be a starter, wherever you need me to be. I want to be a guy in the league. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be considered just as a pass rusher. I mean, I want to be great at that, and that's going to be the main thing that I'm known for. But I want to be able to help my team contribute. You know?
Sure, sure.
As a total, you talked about when we first started, you wanted to get that double digit sack mm-hmm. plateau. Coming into now, you look into the offseason next year. Is that something you just want to continue to build on and continue to grow? Do you set any? Obviously, you have team goals. What are some of the personal goals that you want to accomplish?
I mean, the bare minimum for as long as I'm in the league, I want to be double digits every year. That's the goal every
consistent.
Year. Consistent double
right.
digits every year.
Right.
And I mean, of course, you got those crazy goals, but I mean, then again, those come from guys who usually play on every
right.
down.
So, Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller is
yep.
the whenever J.J. Watt was in there. So, you know, for that to happen, there's got to be more times for me to be on the field. You
yep.
know, and so I'm trying to push my game to be an every down player.
That's the thing is. Looking at Pro Football Focus, you have as many pressures as a lot of the great players in the league, but you played 150 fewer snaps. These guys have, you know, I mean, they're on the field for more snaps. So, I mean, your productivity in terms of ratio of snaps played to productivity in terms of pressuring, hitting, sacking a quarterback is the best in the league. I mean, it really is. I mean, you're leading all rookies in sacks. You're amongst you know, the best in the National Football League and applying consistent pressure. Not bad. Not a bad start, man.
Trying to keep it up. But
I hear you. All right, that's Carl Lawson, Tony Pike, Dave Lapham here. We got another half hour with our man, but we're going to step aside right now. You're listening to Bengals Pep Rally, presented by Miller Lite at Buffalo Wings and Rings and the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Welcome back to Bengals Pep Rally. We're, as always, presented by Miller Lite, and we're at Buffalo Wings and Rings in the First Star Logistics yeah. Bengals Radio Network. This is our first week at the Beachmont Avenue location or Ohio Pike Avenue location, whichever one you want. 509 Ohio Pike Ave is the address, Route 125. Carl Lawson is our special guest for the second hour. We've got a half an hour left of that. Tony Pike, Dave Lapham here with you for Bengals Pep Rally this Friday. And Carl, in come the Chicago Bears. They've lost five in a row, but I'm sure they get your attention by running for over 200 yards against Baltimore and Pittsburgh, two pretty good defenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about that running game? What separates the Bears' running game from the norm?
I mean, nothing really. They just – it's just their philosophy of how they play. They're trying to run the clock out. I'm not trying to jinx us, I mean, but I don't really think they have much confidence in their quarterback. You know, they got two pretty good running backs. Why not, you know, try to, you know, play to your strengths? I mean, I think they played like 36 plays last week. They're trying to have this game over by like 340. Like they're, you know, they're going to play to their special teams, and you know, try to run the ball down their throat. And that's the way they're trying to get their wins right now. So,
sure.
I mean, I don't really think there's anything super that stands out about them, but I mean, just the philosophy of how they're going to play us.
Is there any difference when you play two backs with such different skill sets? Jordan Howard wants to run inside the tackles. They want to get Cohen as much one-on-one outside the tackle stuff as possible. That's something when you come up to the line, you obviously got to, you're checking a bunch what the offense is doing, but you're checking who's at running back as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a different change of pace for a defense, you know, thunder and lightning. I mean, mm-hmm.
right.
maybe some, you know, for defense, maybe one guy will be cheating in this type of gap and this running back will, he won't see it and he'll come in there. But that, you know, that change of pace back comes in, he'll hit it outside immediately. So, yeah, it's like a thunder and lightning type of punch that they got going on right now. And especially with the rookie they have, Tariq Cohen, he's electric.
So. He is, man. Human joystick.
Yeah.
Little dude. 5'6", man. Mm-hmm. He's
he's
something
back
else.
There. Low.
Yeah. So you start having success. You're no longer one-on-one against the tackle. They're sliding the line and helping with a guard and a tackle. They're chipping you with a running back. They're chipping you with a tight end. Mm-hmm. Does that aggravate you, or are you saying, man, that's a compliment? They can't, you know.
I mean, it's been aggravating at times, but at the same time, that's what you got to trust the other guys on the field for. I mean, you know, you got Carlos, you got Gino, you got Chris, you know, so, I mean, you can't. I mean, if you want to put some attention on me, you're going to get a
right.
sack. I mean, even on the sack that Carlos got last night, I was getting a chip from Le'Veon, and I'm like, the tackle thinks he did his job. I'm like, look behind you, you're quarterback
right.
sack. So, I mean, you know, if somebody else is, you know, getting – chipped. I mean, that's my time to make an opportunity happen. So.
Pick your poison, right?
Yeah, pick your poison.
We talked about the, you know, John Ross effect and
right.
helping AJ. No different than what Carl's able to do for
sure.
Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, guys that are used to getting a double team. It's a compliment to say, well, oh, we got Carl Lawson. We got to go chip him. And now
right.
Carlos Dunlap on the other side licking his chops to get a one-on-one.
So they have Geno and Carlos next to each other. So coordinator says, all right, let's slide the line. We get one extra body over to take care of that. But, geez, they have Lawson over here. Now we got a chip. So now all of a sudden, man, there's somebody's one-on-one in the inside. Somebody's got an opportunity. Plus they're taking guys out of the routes. You know, I mean, they're chipping.
Yeah, I mean, when you got a max protection and you got, a running back and you got the tight end, you know, wing right there, I mean, they're messing up the route time. Only person that really doesn't really affect is Le'Veon, as you saw on the touchdown that he made. He chipped, and then he came out last
right.
minute. So, I mean.
Right. How special is that dude?
Special. He's special.
I mean, he can thump you, too, can't he?
He can thump you. I mean, he can sit there. He, you know, that unique running style he has. I mean, one time I swear we had him in the backfield, but he was just pouncing back there, waiting for a crease, and then sat down and accelerated. So, I mean, you kind of got to get to him early. I had a tackle for loss on him, you know, where I didn't even let him get his chance to keep going. That's kind of how you have to play that type of back. You can't let him.
Right.
You know, because. Yeah.
Seeing that, is that a guy, as you go in your career, you pick different stuff up, like you just said? Because, I mean, there's times where he comes to a complete stop in the backfield.
Yeah.
And you're used to guys just hitting the hole. Mm-hmm. You obviously got to play him differently, not just when you see him in the backfield, but pretty much snap to snap based mm-hmm. on what he does.
Yeah, I mean, you got to adjust to every good opponent, and we're going to figure out the formula to get him next year.
This week.
Yeah, you look at the Steelers. 5 Pro Bowlers, their center, their right guard, their quarterback, their running back, their wide receiver. When over half of your roster is Pro Bowl, that's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty dynamic, you know. And their Pro Bowl is up the middle, with the center and guard and the quarterback, then the running back behind him. But then they got one on the perimeter too. So it's like, in baseball, you want to be strong. You know, catcher, shortstop, center field, right up the middle. They're strong up the middle offensively, like you want to be strong up the middle defensively. I mean, that's not an easy offense to the way you guys handled them in the first half. They got nothing out of their first 4 drives. They didn't even line up to kick a field goal. You can only hold a group like that down so long, though, and second half had some problems getting off the field. Did they do anything adjustment-wise at the half that was a factor?
I think it was mainly so just us, you know. We need to keep up the consistency, and we couldn't. Those 3 points at the end of the half really hurt. You know, those are, you know, we had a lot of penalties against us.
A little self-destruction.
Just some bad things. I mean, I don't think it was more of a being out talented. It was just, you know, the little things, and that's why everybody asked me how, you know, do we continue to win games? And I mean, every good team that I've been on is, it comes down to the little things in the off season. Guys not missing meetings. Guys. Not getting in trouble, you know, everybody on the same page, and that's what winning teams do, you know. So I mean, I feel like it came down to the little things that we had in the past as far as our shortcomings this season. So I mean, just overall, just, you know, improve the little things, and then you'll collectively as a team become better.
We were able to talk Pittsburgh and a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. Now you flip the page 1 week and you got a rookie quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. Doesn't have the weapons that Big Ben has out there. Is that something when you guys are watching film and you're in the meeting room and you say, man, if we win on first and second down, this is a game where you can come out and get 3 or 4 sacks in a game because you get to face a rookie quarterback seeing you guys for the first time?
I mean, yeah. You say that, but at the same time, as you've seen in this league many times before, stars will be born on certain games sometimes. So I treat every opponent like he's the best player I've ever seen in my life, you know, because I try to study him as much as I can. But, I mean, yeah, then again, you don't really know how many opportunities to sack this kid as you're going to get, because, I mean, they're not going to sit there and let him
air it out
or just, you know, hand the – unless he needs to, then give him the game. Now, you're going to try to protect him. So, I mean – you want to, like, that's why you got to throw your best rushes out there and try to get them, because you don't know how many opportunities to get to them you're going to have. So,
the offensive line, Long is on injured reserve, really good player, 3-time Pro Bowler. They have Josh sitting at left guard, 4-time Pro Bowler, White here at center. The tackles, though, the strength of their offensive line, most people think, are on the inside. The left tackle I see is Charles Leno Jr. First of all, is he in relation to Jay?
No, just kidding. He doesn't.
I mean, what about the on the edges? What about the tackles? You played against Pittsburgh. You played against some pretty good offensive lines. How good is this offensive line that they got? Pretty solid.
Yeah, like I said earlier, there's so many different combinations. So there's different ways to attack people.
Right.
So I mean, I honestly feel like I could beat anybody. You know, doesn't matter the opponent. So I mean, I'm not saying that he's bad or good. I just have enough confidence in myself to be able to compete with any tackle. So
you're looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
I think the one-on-one matchups are so unique for a position like defensive end. So playing quarterback, if the safety rolls down and it's 3-high, I know I'm going here.
Right.
For you, you say you had, you know, this repertoire of 8 different moves. Do you come into a snap and you line up and you say, okay, I'm going to this move on this snap? Or is it more – once that ball snap, you're seeing how he's playing, and you're able to just find a move that quick.
Well, that's what I said. It's 8 moves, but it's 3 of them are base moves and with a counter off them. So he stops this. Now I get the counter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's adjustment off of how the approach is set up. But, I mean, there's reactionary moves to everything. So
this is stuff I needed before when I was playing.
I hear you.
I need to understand this stuff.
So when you're going against an opponent – and you study them all week, in your head, you have like 3 of my 8 moves are going to be pretty good in this game. And then during the course of the game, if he does something different by studying you, you're going to adjust. I mean, basically, yeah, right? It's a little chess match?
Yeah, we had like a chess match like that in the Colts game. You know, he would set me at a certain angle.
Costanza was?
Yeah, he's, you know, stopping my momentum. I'm like, okay. I'm a counter by doing this.
Was he trying to jump you a little bit or tighten the set?
Yeah, it was more of a horizontal set.
I
was going upfield, and that's where my momentum was going.
Right.
And he was trying to beat me to the punch before I can get going, because he knows I like speed to power, and he knows that, you know, he wasn't letting that build up.
Right.
So he met me at that point, and I was like, okay. And that's something that I for some reason, I don't know why it clicked with me when I got to the league, is I'm able to recognize what people are doing to me, so I could be like, okay, do that again and see what happens.
Right, right.
You know, so.
So the hump moves you have, it's basically Reggie White was great at it. You get the offensive tackle's momentum going, you work it against him, and you throw him. I mean, you just take that inside arm and throw him and duck up underneath inside. Did you get that from Reggie White, or did it come to on your own? How'd you come about with that move?
It's more of an instinctual thing. I mean, I wrestle a lot with my teammates and just playing around and stuff. I mean, that's like I don't know if you can teach it necessarily, but it's about knowing body weight and always having the – awareness for the quarterback. The great rushers always, from everything I knew, they constantly knew where the quarterback was in the pocket. They had a speed move, they had a power move, and they could feel body weight. So I mean, it's not really something that I sit there and say practice per se, but I mean, it comes natural to me.
Who was the best opponent you played against in the SEC?
Best player.
Like overall player or best tackle?
Best tackle. Or best overall, either or. Give us both. Whatever's best.
Best overall player I played was when we played Johnny Manziel my first year. He was a magician. That was the best overall player. And then best tackle, I'd have to say, it was probably Greg Robinson when he was at his peak.
Alabama?
He was an Auburn guy. He was number two overall pick, but Greg Robinson was a monster. I just remember him being so athletic. I mean, it kind of might have caught up to him in the league because, you know, he didn't have any fundamentals.
Right.
But, I mean, that was the best player I went against.
You went against him every day.
At Auburn, did you guys do a lot of ones-on-one live type stuff?
Yeah. Okay. That's why I like – that's one thing I like about NFL. The meetings make me dizzy, but my body doesn't feel as bad. And at Auburn, smashing every day. Running after practice every day. You're gonna feel it.
So when you came out of high school, if I'm not mistaken, you were like the number one edge rush guy in the country. Weren't you the number one guy coming out of college as a recruit, high school as a recruit?
Yeah, I guess the recruiting sites and stuff, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so other opportunities, obviously, than Auburn. What other ones – what did it come down to? Where were your final choices?
It was pretty much everybody, but
right.
Clemson and Tennessee. I really liked – I mean, I have a lot of Tennessee connections, you know. And then Clemson was just a great school, too. But I ended up going to Auburn. You know, that's where my heart led me to. And, you know, I have relations there for a lifetime. So.
Sure. Yeah. Now, you and your dad played. And your dad used to work against you. And he'd get after it, right? I mean, he wouldn't take any mercy on his son until there was one day where.
Until I got bigger than him.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened a couple times. He won't say it, but everybody hears a story of me, you know, knocking one's butt.
Right.
That first time. But he didn't quit after that. He's a Lawson. He's not a quitter.
Where'd your dad play?
Georgia Tech.
Fullback.
Yep. He thought he could block me. No.
Fullback in that in that potent running attack at Georgia Tech, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. So how big an asset is your dad in terms of advice? I mean, is he somebody you really listen to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About not just about life, about football?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's always helped me, you know, even though sometimes, you know, you don't want your dad, you know, yapping at you about stuff, but he's always been there for me. You know, he's always taking care of me and things of that nature. And I got a loving family, and I can't appreciate them enough.
Big family?
No, but I mean.
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got brothers and sisters, stepbrothers, and a sister. So.
Athletes?
Not quite. The stepbrother, yeah, but the other two are just, they're not athletes, but I still love them anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, we're going to step aside, take another little break here. Come back with Carl Lawson, round and third, heading for home. As the old lovable left-hander used to say, you listen to Bengals Pep Rally presented by Miller Lite at Buffalo Wings and Rings on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network.